Welcome to our session on prayer. My name's Keith. Just wanted to let you know, if you want to chat a little bit afterwards, I'll stick around for a minute or two. But I wanted to start with a story. So my wife Sarah and I, who's here in the front, in our front yard is a small red maple tree. You guys are familiar with those. They usually have a lot of branches that start to branch out like right from ground height. And so they're great for kids to climb in. We have a four-year-old son and a one-year-old daughter at home. And my four-year-old son, he has discovered the art of tree climbing. Loves to climb trees. He's not very good at it. Not too long ago, he discovered this red maple tree in our front yard. And so he climbs up about as high as he can go. And it's not super high, but it's about eye level for me. So he's, 5-6 feet off the ground. And he gets up there and he's all excited. And then he's like, I'm stuck. No way to go any higher, and he was too afraid to climb back down. And so I was standing in our front yard, maybe 20, 30 feet away, and I'm watching all of this transpire, I'm not going to let him fall out of the tree, but I wanted to see how this was going to play out. And so what did he do? Well, he gets stuck in the tree, and what does every four-year-old do that gets stuck in a tree, right? They freak out, just start screaming, just like that. He freaked out, he cried, and he made all of our neighbors think that we're terrible parents who had abandoned our child in a tree to die. I walked over to him, and I calmly was like, Zeke, his name's Zeke. I said, Zeke, would you like some help, buddy? Yeah. As if I was bothering him, right? He's the world's most dramatic four-year-old, no doubt. So I reached up and I grabbed him, and he reluctantly accepted my help, and we got him down out of the tree, and then he runs off to his next activity, right? Nope, no thank you. And they're like, oh, daddy, you're so great. He just runs away. Now, I share this story not to make you think that my son's dramatic, though he is, or to think that I'm some great dad because I'm solidly average at best. I share this because nothing has taught me more about prayer and my relationship with God than being a dad. It has taught me so much. So just a little bit about myself. Like I said, we have a four-year-old son. His name is Zeke, and we have a one-year-old daughter. Her name is Edith, and love them very much. They're at home hanging out with Grammy this weekend. But being their dad has taught me so much about my relationship with the Lord. See, it's taught me about how a father, that his children, they depend on him for a lot of things. They depend on him for things like provision and just being able to provide, whether it be financially. They depend on them for protection. If a dog were to stray into our neighborhood like it did not too long ago, is this safe? Is dad around? Or even just practical needs, like, hey, I need this thing that's on the high up shelf. I can't reach it. Where's dad, right? Practical needs, and in summary, you could say that I write checks and I wipe butts. That's the life of a dad. But there's also emotional and relational desire that makes it a lot more fun too. There's nothing I love more than having both my kids next to me, watching an episode of Bluey for the 8th time. Any Bluey fans? Yeah, you can be honest. Bluey's great. I love Bluey. In summary, there's two things that I've learned about fatherhood is that as their dad, I love them, but also they need me. They're very dependent. And because I'm their dad, I love them, I want what's best for them, and I want to give them whatever they need to the best of my ability. And the Bible tells us for that those who are in Christ and believe in him, that we are God's children. And he is our father. Now you're thinking to yourself, okay, that's great, but what does that have to do with prayer, right? This session is on prayer. Well, I'm convinced that our prayer lives are fully dependent on our understanding of who God is. Our prayer lives are fully dependent on our understanding of who God is, and that if we have an accurate view of who God is, our prayer lives will thrive. If we have an inaccurate understanding of who God is, if it's even just slightly skewed, that will negatively impact our prayer lives. One of my favorite authors there, I included a quote at the top of your outlines. I believe on page 44, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but 44 and 45, included a quote from Tim Keller, his book on prayer. He says, "The power of our prayers, then, lies not primarily in our effort and striving or in any technique, but rather in our knowledge of God." The power of our prayers lies in our knowledge of God. See, I'm afraid that too often we forget, or perhaps we just refuse to pray because we don't fully understand who God is. When it comes to a session on prayer, we could spend an entire weekend talking about this topic. You know, we could talk about like how to pray or when to pray or what to pray about. But today, I just want to talk about who is it that we're praying to. I think that once that has been more solidified, that the rest of those things will kind of fall in line. Once you understand who you're praying to, then the when, the what, the how, all of that will become a lot easier. And you see, as I've considered the many reasons why we pray and trying to whittle that down for this morning, our understanding of who God is affects our prayer lives. And I think that there are two aspects that are really important. One, we need him. Two, he loves us. We need him and he loves us. And I came to this conclusion by studying the way that Jesus teaches us how to pray. It comes from the Lord's Prayer, which many of you may be familiar with, maybe even have memorized. And it's found in Matthew 6. You'll see there's a passage there printed in your packets from Matthew 6. And this is one of the greatest resources that we have on prayer because this is Jesus himself teaching us how to pray. So let's take a minute. We want to look at this passage, talk about it just a little bit. But just a note about the context of this. Just before this, the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, "Lord, teach us how to pray." And this is what he says. Start there at verse 5, Matthew 6, verse 5. "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father who knows what you need before you knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." I put an asterisk around that last line or so there, just because in the original text, it doesn't include the "for yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory," but I still think that's helpful, and that's what a lot of us have probably come to know and memorize. But I want to break this prayer down just for a minute and then tie it back into our idea of God being our Father. Because I'm guessing for many of you, you're familiar with this prayer. You might have it memorized, but have you ever actually studied it? You might know it word for word, but have you considered each line and what it means? I think that one of the ways we can think about this is that if you're really struggling to know how to pray, and that's why you came here today, this is a great place to start. Jesus literally says, "Pray then like this." So it doesn't have to always look like this, but it's a great place to start. And I've actually found that personally helpful when I'm like, I don't know what to say right now. Like, I want to talk to the Lord, but I know what to say. This is really helpful. But the Lord's Prayer not only tells us how to pray, but also why we pray. I want to take some time to look at that, because if you look closely at the Lord's Prayer, it can be broken down into a few different petitions or requests, you could say. So look at verse 9. "Hallowed be your name." Verse 10, "Your kingdom come." Also verse 10, your will be done. Verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12, forgive us our debts. Verse 13, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Maybe you'll notice there's almost a contrast there or a split in that the first few requests are in verses 9 and 10, they're more God-centered, right? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then at the end, it shifts to more about what we need and who we are. To simplify it even more, we need him and he loves us, or even just who he is. Now, why is it important to take note of this? If we had time, I would spend more time talking about this prayer, but for right now, I just want us to see that this is about who God is and what we need. And this is not based off of just the petitions, but also the way that Jesus instructs us to address God. Did you guys notice that in these few verses right here, he says, Father, four times. Your Father, your Father, your Father, your Father. Guys, this is really significant. This is huge. That as we, as sinful people, as we've been learning about this weekend, that we can come before an all-knowing, all-powerful God and call him Father? Call him Dad? That's crazy. Like, think about it this way. Take the politics out of it, but pretend your dad became the president of the United States. You had instant access to the most powerful man in the country. Became an instant celebrity, right? Next day you woke up and you had millions of followers on TikTok and Instagram. Guys, the fact that God is our Father, that's a big deal. Now, you might be tempted to think, like, surely calling God our Father is, maybe it's just an error in translation, right? This is not a mistake. This is a theme that we see all throughout Scripture, and I just wanted to give you guys a couple examples to back this up. The fact that we have been adopted as sons and daughters is a core theme throughout Scripture. Galatians 3 says that for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Romans 8, for all who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. Do not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That's the same phrase, the same name that Jesus himself uses for God in the garden in Mark 14. He says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. And we can use that same name. In fact, that's what Jesus is instructing us to do in prayer. As cool as that is, before I go any further, I just want to take one moment to acknowledge that there are most likely people in a room this size that don't understand what having a loving Father is like. There are people here who have been abused by fathers, neglected, abandoned. I'm sure many of you have faced, or at least know someone who has faced, divorce or even the loss of a father. And so as I talk about these things, I just want to acknowledge that this can actually be really difficult to understand and to relate to. And that we live in a fallen world. And even if you do have a dad, he's not perfect. We live in a world where children grow up in broken homes, with broken families, and broken relationships with their parents. So I don't want to minimize the impact that that can have, but I do think that understanding that and acknowledging that can help us understand just how important and how special it is that God says the relationship that you have with God, he's your dad. He's your father. And you can treat him as such. It's special. It's a very unique relationship. See, in my life, as a dad, there's a lot of people that I love in my life. I love a lot of my friends, my extended family, a lot of the people that I work with. I love a lot of the students that I get to work with on campus. But the love that I have for them, it's not quite the same as the love I have for my kids. You see, if one of my students called me up in the middle of the night and like, "Keith, I had a really bad dream." Be like, "I love you, but let's talk tomorrow." If my son or daughter comes into my room at night and like, "Daddy, I had a bad dream." They're getting sandwiched in between mom and I so that they can go to sleep. And we certainly will not sleep the rest of the night because we're getting kicked in the shins and elbowed in the ribs. But we love our kids. They get special treatment. Why am I telling you this? This is the kind of access that you have to your Heavenly Father. This is the kind of relationship with God that Jesus is describing. See, we often think of God as being powerful and just and sometimes wrathful. And he is those things. We see that in Scripture. But we also see in Scripture that he is kind, he is compassionate, and he is loving. He loves us, and we need him. What are some of the possible implications or applications of the fact that God is our Heavenly Father? I would say, for starters, if prayer is perhaps new to you, if it's foreign, if it's scary, even if you don't know what to say, just start talking. When you're afraid, when you're anxious, when you're angry or depressed, you can talk to him. He's your dad, and he loves you. He can hear you, and he cares. My son does this all the time. Sometimes, it feels like he never stops talking to me. At 4 years old, now, he's able to articulate and communicate pretty well, and he's able to often clearly state what he needs, or at least what he wants. And when we can talk about these things, and I try to help him understand, like, "Dad, I need a new Hot Wheels car." It's like, "Well, you don't need a new Hot Wheels car. You really want one." Whereas my daughter, she's only one. She's still learning to talk. She's doing great. But sometimes she tells me, you know, things or asks for things. And I'm like, "What? Come again?" Like, sometimes I have no idea what she's saying. And yet, just because we've spent so much time together, because she has articulated these things time and time again, I have learned to understand what she's saying, even if it's not English. Recognize what she needs and just anticipate that when she does a certain thing, I know what she wants. Like if she wants a snack or a drink, you know, or if she just wants to sit and read a book. "Dada, read book?" It melts me every time. I just can't say no to that. I don't sit there and I don't correct her grammar and say, "Well, it's no, read a book." Say it right or we're not doing it, right? No. Your grammar doesn't have to be correct in your prayer life. You don't have to clearly articulate everything. In fact, in Romans, it tells us that when we don't know what to say, the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes your prayer is just like, "Ugh," right? But God understands. Now, I'm no super dad, and my wife can attest to the fact that I probably get it wrong more than I often get it right, but I try my best. I love my kids, and even if I, a sinful man, can get it right sometimes, how much more capable is God, our Heavenly Father? Surely he is able to understand what we need and anticipate our requests, right? Jesus himself says in Matthew 7, "Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? How much more will your Father give good things? God loves us, and unlike me, he is both willing and able to meet our needs. We can ask him for things, knowing that he won't give us the opposite just to be mean. Friends, if he already gave his son, Jesus, on the cross, why would he withhold anything else from us? So pray as if that were true. Even if it doesn't feel like it. Even if you don't fully understand God and his characteristics. Even if you have a hard time believing it sometimes. We can pray to the God of the Bible, knowing that this is who he is. We can recognize our need for him and also believe in the love that he has shown us. We could easily spend an entire conference talking just about prayer, but we only have a few minutes here together. So if you're hungry for more on this topic, I put together some recommended resources. I believe it's in the bottom corner of your packet there. The first recommended resource is one that has really influenced my own personal prayer life. It's a book called Prayer. You may have seen it out on the book table this weekend. It's by Tim Keller, pastor and author who recently passed and has been a tremendous influence on me. And I have a few copies here of this book. Does anyone have a birthday this weekend? Anyone have a birthday this past week? Oh, we got two. All right. If you want to come back up afterwards, I'll give them to you. And you have one this past week too? Perfect. I'll have them up here for you guys at the end. Yeah, you're welcome. I wanted to just bless you guys with that because I believe that your prayer life is really vital to your understanding and relationship with God. Another resource I wanted to recommend is the book Just Be Honest by my friend Clint Watkins. Read it recently, and he's a celebrity for sure. But yeah, it's a tremendous resource, and I wanted to recommend it specifically for people who struggle to understand how to pray when life is hard. If you've experienced any sort of loss or suffering, maybe like what I was mentioning before, whether it be your relationship with your dad or just other circumstances. If prayer is difficult because of suffering in some way, that can be a really, really good resource for you. As Clint has experienced similar things and has walked through that as well. And the last one is a praying life. If you just can't get enough and you want more information, that's another just great overview of the Bible's perspective on prayer. So Praying Life by Paul Miller, Just Be Honest by Clint Watkins, and Prayer by Tim Keller. Another resource, you may notice there's a lot of people walking around this weekend with these little name tags on. Your campus staff. Perhaps you have something that a book doesn't cover. Perhaps you have specific questions. Like, talk to us. That's why we're here. We do this full time, and we would love to either pray with you or talk to you more about what prayer is, maybe why that's difficult, etc. We want to help you guys know, love, and obey Jesus, and a big part of that is prayer. So, just to kind of recap a couple of the things that we've talked about. How should we pray? Well, you can pray like you're talking to your dad. If it's new to you or you just don't know where to start, you can use the Lord's Prayer. It's printed right there for you in your handout. Lord, would you do these things? Would you help me in these ways? And another recommended resource, the entire book of Psalms. There's 150 Psalms that are in many ways either a insight into David's prayer life. They're songs, they're lyrics, they're beautiful poetry, but they're also prayers. I have found them to be tremendously helpful. For example, Psalm 51 has helped me when I know there's something I need to repent of or confess of. It's David's psalm of repentance. Psalm 23, I'm sure many of you are familiar with, if you're just walking through a difficult time in life. There's many more examples. So check out the psalms. There's many of them. There's a psalm for every occasion. Now, you might be thinking, when should we pray, right? Well, Paul says in his book to the Thessalonians, he says, pray without ceasing. So we're going to pray right now. Who would have thought that in a session about prayer, I would make you guys practice, right? But this conference, it can be hectic. I'm sure a lot of you guys are maybe running out of steam. We've spent a lot of time this weekend, no doubt, talking about God. Let's take some time to talk to God. Not just talk about him, let's talk to him. So we're going to take the next 5 to 10 minutes to practice. There's a blank sheet there in your packet. Just says practice at the top. You can feel free to prayer journal if that's helpful for you. And just write it out. If you want to just pray quietly, just in your head, just you and the Lord, feel free to do that. So feel free to either pray on your own. You can prayer journal. And then in a few minutes, I will pray to close us out. Sound good? All right, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and then I'll close this in a few minutes. Father, we come before you, and we thank you for the gift of your Son, and that through that process, you have made us sons and daughters. Lord, that though we had nothing to offer to make ourselves special or desirable, Lord, because of your abounding and steadfast love, you sought us out and brought us in. Lord, as we continue to grow in our understanding of what that means, and even more so of who you are, would you use that to strengthen our prayer lives, to teach us more about yourself, and Lord, just to help us as we try to put these things that we've been learning into practice. Prayer, as simple as it may seem, is often very difficult for many different reasons. Lord, would you help us to see it in the same way that you see it, that you want to have conversations with your kids. You love us. You want to hear from us, regardless of how articulate we may be or how much it might sound like gibberish. Lord, you want to relate to us in this way. And we thank you for that. Would you help us as we seek to grow more in this way? Father, we give you thanks and all the honor and the glory and pray this in your name. Amen.